So we had meditation classes, and after a while there were some people who wanted a more extended practice of meditation. They wanted to go deeper. And of course, if you're just sitting for a couple of hours, you can't always go very deep, especially if you're coming straight from work, as many people did in those days, to those classes. So we started holding retreats, week-long retreats in the countryside. It was, I think, in West Sussex. We went to a place called Quatermain and another bigger place called Kefalds. Some of you who were around in those days will probably remember those two places. And we had what has come to be, I think, a standard sort of FWB retreat consisting of talks, meditation, periods of silence, walks and talks together, pujas, study, and so on. And I have very pleasant memories of those far off days. I can remember, you know, the day when I introduced the communication exercises. I noticed that people didn't always find it very easy to communicate with one another. So I thought, well, what to do? A bit more mindfulness might not help very much, even a bit more metta-bhavana. So I bethought myself of these exercises, which I'd learned in India many years before, from an English woman who'd devised them on the basis of what she'd received from various teachers. And I introduced these exercises, and they had an almost miraculous effect. People really opened up with one another. So after that, communication exercises came to form a sort of regular part of the FWB repertoire. And I believe that they're still sometimes used on retreats when perhaps people aren't opening up with one another quite sufficiently. So we had these retreats. And I remember also that at the end of the week, people would be loitering at the gate, waiting for their transport, and looking very sad, quite unhappy. They'd been very happy all during the week, in fact, increasingly happy. But they were very, very sorry that the retreat had ended. It would be on a Sunday evening, of course, and on Monday morning they were going back to work. But in the course of the retreat, I noticed such a remarkable change in people. They would arrive looking rather tired, perhaps a bit fed up. But as the days progressed, they became more happy, more positive, even more communicative. And one could see with one's own eyes, that the Dharma, even a little of it, did really work. And this reminded me very strongly of the fact that conditions are important. And it is a duty, as it were, almost to oneself, that if one wishes to practice the Dharma, one does one's best to make sure that one creates, as best one can, the conditions, the lifestyle even, that enables you to practice the Dharma and does not get too much in the way. So I saw this very clearly, and I've remembered it. And this also brings me back to a time in my own life when a change of conditions made a very big difference and had a very definite effect on me, a lasting effect on me, I think.